Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week three of our sermon series called The Seven Deadly Sins, where what we're doing for the season of Lent is, again, walking through these deadly sins as a way of getting real with ourselves regarding what it is that we need to work on, so that ultimately we can do the difficult work of turning away from our sins and back to our God. That's what Lent is supposed to be all about. And so this morning, and to continue our journey through the seven deadly sins, we're going to be exploring a couple more of those sins that I know that we all struggle with, which are the sins of greed and envy. Any of you have any greed or envy problems at this point? Everybody, let's give John a round of applause. He's saving me here. There we go. Now we're up and running. Oh, technology. Don't you love it? Don't you love technology? Okay, so greed is defined as an intense and selfish desire for material wealth, possessions, or power. But greed is not just wanting more. It's an unhealthy obsession with acquiring more, which also includes a disregard for others, so you really don't care about others when you're doing this, and a lack of contentment. Or the truth is, we all know what greed looks and feels like, because not only do we live in a society that to a certain extent is fueled by greed, but also because greed and selfishness are just a part of who we are as human beings. Or to see this in a big picture kind of way, what you discover when you look behind some of the biggest problems that we have faced as a nation over the last 20 years or so is greed, right? For example, the financial crisis of 2008 was fueled by the greed of banks and mortgage lenders that engaged in risky lending and investment practices to make a whole lot of money in the short term. And they didn't care what it did to anybody else, which is something we all felt. The driving force behind the opioid crisis, which we're still dealing with, were pharmaceutical companies that aggressively marketed their products while downplaying its addictive nature, again, to make a whole lot of money, not caring about anyone else. And yet, greed is not just a problem for big business, it's also our problem, because we live in a consumeristic society. And in one sense, all consumerism is a way of life in which people measure happiness, success, and personal fulfillment by what they have or what they can buy. Or as a way of living, where the one who dies with the most stuff, that's the one who wins. And again, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about here, because every single one of us in this place, in this time, has purchased something or a whole lot of somethings, not because we need it, but because we want it. Or because we got greedy. Or how many of you, if you get honest with yourselves, that when you look around at your life, all the stuff that you have accumulated might just have to admit that you have a greed problem to a certain extent. Anybody brave enough to raise your hand on that one? For those of you who don't raise your hand, you're a liar. Because we all have this problem. It's a part of the world that we live in. Now, before you guys go off the deep end thinking that I am against business and corporations or I'm against consumerism altogether, you need to know I'm not. I'm well aware of the benefits of all those corporations and why capitalism and consumerism seem to work so well in a fallen and broken world. I get that. Yet, with that being said, we have also got to get honest with ourselves about the balance that many of us seem to miss when it comes to buying what we need and letting that be enough. Along with getting honest about why it's not a good thing that CEOs and bigwigs get paid millions upon millions of dollars while the thousands of people who are working for them are barely making enough to get by. Yeah, as you guys know from personal experience, greed is a dangerous and powerful force, not only in corrupting and destroying parts of our world, but a force that if we allow it, that can take over and destroy our lives as well. Or as James 3:16 so beautifully puts it, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, which is greed, there you find disorder and every evil practice." For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But now that you're thinking about the sin of greed, let us now get into the sin of envy and why they fit so well together. So the reason I've combined envy and greed is because oftentimes there's not a lot of difference between the two, with greed being what drives our envy, and envy being a part of what drives our greed. Because what both of these sins have in common is they both come from a place of wanting more, or from a place of a deep dissatisfaction with what one has. And so where they differ is, to a certain extent, in their motivation, not their outcome, with greed simply being about wanting more and more just because we want more and more, and envy being about wanting more and more so that we can have more than someone else. Or greed is when you pile your plate high with food, even though you're already full, simply because you want more food. While envy is when you look over at someone else's plate and think, why do they have that dessert? I want that dessert too. And of course, where envy shows up in our lives these days is in trying to keep up with the Joneses. Or is when we as human beings in all areas of our lives look over at what others have, which we don't have, and because we think that what they have somehow makes their lives better or somehow makes them more important, not only does that motivate us to go out and get what they have and even more, but it's also the case that with envy, there can develop a kind of jealousy where we actually cheer when those people that we envy have something bad happen to them. Or maybe to see how envy works in a bit more personal way, I want all of you to take a moment and think back to some time in your life where you had a kind of rival, someone that you envied. And let's be honest, people, we've all had someone. And we probably even got someone right now. Well, now that you have that person in mind, what I want you to do is not only think about how you feel about that person, all that envy that comes up, but even more than that, I want you to think about how that person, whether they're aware of it or not, has to a certain extent not only controlled your life as you give yourself to competing and comparing yourself to them, but how that person makes you feel about yourself. Well, for me as a teenager, trying to get things figured out back in the day, the people I envied the most were those freaks of nature when it came to sports. Some of those dudes that I saw yesterday, holy cow. Unbelievable. You know, the guys that I'm talking about on the football field that look like men among boys are just bigger, faster, and stronger than everyone else, or those baseball players who without any real work could just throw the ball 90 miles an hour or hit the ball 450 feet. And so because they had what I wanted, man, was I envious. Even more than that, I was jealous and loved to watch and see those players fail, whether they deserved it or not, whether they were good guys or not. And yet here's the thing that really gets me when I think back to that time in my life, is how because of my envy, I measured my self-worth, not based on who God created me to be in all of my nerdiness, but based on how I compared to those freaks of nature. Or just because I didn't have the talent and skills that these people were born with, it's genetic, my friends, made me feel less. Or it made me feel like I wasn't good enough. Made me miserable. Or how many of you, if you get honest, have ever known that place of envious misery in some area of your life? Yeah, it's another one of those things that I think we've all dealt with from time to time. Well, just like with greed, envy is one of those powerful forces that if we don't face it, if we don't manage it well, can do a whole lot of damage, not just to our lives, but to the world. And yet, now that you guys are wrestling with all of that, let me share with you some biblical wisdom regarding how to face and then overcome these sins of greed and envy, or how to be set free from these sins that, whether you like it or not, have a whole lot of power, that are at work right now in how you see and make sense of the world. So again, the first thing we always have to do when facing any kind of sin is not to run from or try to deny that we actually have a problem, and we're really good at that, but instead it's to face it head on through the act of confession, where we take a moment to get real with ourselves and God regarding these sins. And then once we have taken that first step, when it comes to the sins of greed and envy, what we need to do to repent is we got to rethink everything about our lives. But not in light of what the world teaches or in what others continue to kind of cram down our throats. No, we got to rethink everything in light of who God created us to be. And in light of how our God is really, really good at taking care of all of us. Because ultimately, what these sins are, these sins of want, where they come from at their most basic level, is from not trusting that God has created you to be you and no one else. And that God hasn't already provided you with everything that you need and more. Yeah, these sins really are that simple when you break them down. It comes from a lack of trust in God, where instead of understanding that God has created us to be exactly who we are for a specific purpose, our looks, our size, our gifts, our talents, everything, we think there has to be something wrong with us. And so because we think something's wrong with us, or because others tell us that there's something wrong with us, we start to compare ourselves to others, thinking things like, if I just look like that, if I could just throw the ball 90 miles an hour, if I could just have that girl's brain, if I could just have the money that they have, then I would be okay. I would be complete. The same is true for the stuff that we want. In that instead of trusting that God has given us what we need, for some reason, we look around our lives, which ironically are already filled to overflowing with God's blessings, and start to think we don't have enough, or that God hasn't already provided us with what we need. And so what we do is we get greedy and give our lives to buying more and more and more stuff, thinking that this is the answer. This is what we need to make us feel good, happy, and complete. And I'm here to tell you guys, I wish it was as easy as going out and buying something to find the life that is truly life. I've done it 1,000 times. It doesn't work. And I wish that trying to be someone else or trying to compare myself to someone else is what would make me happy if I could have those things. Guess what? It doesn't. It really doesn't. Because the simple answer to overcoming these sins of want is not trying to be different than you are or buying more stuff. It's really not. It's learning to be content with who you are and what you have. Learning to be content with who you are and what you have, or learning to embrace and understand that in one sense, God's already created you to be who you are, and that God has already given you everything you need to live into the life that is truly life. Or to help you guys see how true this really is, let me tell you about two different women that I had the privilege of ministering to and what they taught me about greed, envy, and the power of contentment regardless of circumstances. So, the first woman I tell you about was an heiress of a multi-million dollar clothing chain store based out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, which many of you, when you were younger, shopped at. How many of you ever had a chance to shop at Anthony's? Anybody? You guys remember Anthony's back in the day? And so, of course, that meant that this woman grew up with everything, or really was one of those people who could do or buy anything she wanted, anytime she wanted, which, by the way, is how she lived her life. Or she really did live one of those lifestyles of the rich and famous type of lives. And yet, here's the thing. When I visited this woman in her rather large mansion where she was being waited on hand and foot by her maids and butlers, and yeah, that's how rich she was. She actually had maids and butlers. Is that because of her envy and her greed, or just being one of those people that was never satisfied with who she was or what she had? Was one of the most miserable people I have ever had the displeasure of meeting in my entire life. I mean, I didn't even like to go visit this woman, and I love to do visits. Because of all the venom and sadness and anger and jealousy and greed and envy that she would spew out when I showed up. Which didn't make any sense whatsoever. Right? She had everything the world had to offer. Absolutely miserable. Then, on the flip side of that, the other woman that I visited, she grew up in poverty with an abusive and alcoholic father. She was forced to quit school at a young age because of her dad to go to work to help support her family. Then later on in life, after she kind of got things together, got married and all that kind of stuff, she not only lost her husband suddenly to a tragic car accident, but a couple of years after that, she then lost a child to a long drawn out battle to cancer. And then on top of that, if that's not enough misery, about 10 years later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer herself, a disease that she continued to battle for the next 10 years of her life. And yet what I found when I visited this woman in one of the worst nursing homes in Oklahoma City, where she had to share a room with one of those people who was constantly mourning because that's all she could afford, was one of the happiest, most joyful people I have ever had the privilege to meet. I mean, I look forward to going to see this woman in that horrible, stinky place because somehow she was able to lift my spirits every single time I saw her. And her secret, or the secret behind how she was able to live this life in spite of all that she faced. Because nobody would have blamed her for being bitter and angry, given what she had been through and given where she was at in that moment. She had this verse that she had memorized and would say to herself over and over again during the day. Philippians 4:11 through 13. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yeah, the secret to this woman going on to live an incredible and inspiring life in spite of the misery and suffering she had to endure, she learned to trust God with her life. She learned contentment. Not only with who she was, but with what God provided for her. Think about that. That's the power of contentment. That's the power of making peace with who you are and what you have. And it doesn't matter what life throws at you, you can stay in that place. But it's also the power of greed and envy, right? I see this woman who has everything she could have ever wanted, just absolutely miserable. So here's the thing. As we go back out into the world to live these lives that God had created us to live, we have a choice every single day. Now, it's a hard choice because it's really easy to fall back into greed and envy because that's kind of the world that we live in. But we have the opportunity every single day to choose contentment. To look at ourselves in the mirror and go, thank you, God, not, oh my God, right? And to look around at our lives, at all the blessings that we have and go, this is enough. This is exactly what God has given to me so I can live into my life that is truly life. Not comparing yourself to someone else, but being content with who you are and what God has given to you. I promise you, people, if you will make this a habit of your life every single day, it will set you free. It will change you forever. It can take this lady who has been through the worst things in the world and make her happy and joyful. I mean, come on. Choose contentment and you will be transformed forever. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of learning to trust God no matter what is going on in life. Let us pray. Father, again, we come to you, and as we continue to work through this series, it is my hope and prayer that as we wrestle with these sins, that you will convict us, but in a way that helps us to understand that you are a God who is willing and able to meet with us whenever we cry out, and a God who can't wait to forgive us and set us free. And so, Lord, when it comes to the sins of greed and envy, help us to be honest. Help us to say that we are greedy in certain areas of our lives. Help us to think about all the people that we do envy. And yet, instead of continuing to live down that same path, Lord, may we be the kind of people who trust you, who choose contentment, knowing that you've created us to be exactly who we need to be, and that you have given us everything we need to live into the life that is truly life. Lord, we ask all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.